Airplanes fly due to pressure differences at the upper and lower sides of the wings, basically. It's actually very simple. It's they are designed with a curve. If you look at a wing, you'll see they're slightly curved. And basically, as the air hits the wing, because the top surface is on the outer side of the curve, the air has to travel a further distance over the top part of the wing. Because it has to travel further, it means it travels faster. So the air travelling on the top is faster, which means that the pressure is lower. It's a pressure-velocity relationship, basically. And therefore, because the pressure under the wing is higher than on top of the wing, it just basically gets sucked. It just sort of gets sucked off the earth. And if, for example, your engine was to cut out, it will just glide. It's inherently stable, an airplane. It wants to stay stable. It doesn't want to kind of, if it rocks one way like a ship, it will rock back. So, even if your engine was to fail, it will glide. You've got a lot of time to prepare yourself and work out what you're going to do. And so it does want to actually be in the air. Helicopters are a different story. They're inherently unstable and they're a bit more complicated in that sense. The way it works with the type of aircraft you fly is that when you first learn, if you do it the way that I did it, as I said, there are many different routes, but the way I did it, I got my private pilot's license first. And what that enables you to do, it enables you to fly any single engine piston aircraft within a certain size limit, I think. Then what happens is you can add a rating onto that called a multi-engine rating, which then enables you to fly any multi-engine piston aeroplane. But aside from that, as you go up to the larger aircraft, eventually the Civil Aviation Authority then puts a rule on the aircraft which says that, for example, if you wanted to fly a Boeing 737, you need what's called a type rating in order to fly that. So there are certain aircraft that are so complex that you have to actually have a specific rating for that one type of aeroplane. As I said, that lower down with the smaller aircraft, you can sort of, it's all quite similar and you can use the same license, but as it gets more complex, you have to have a particular rating for that aircraft, and so you have to go through a training process in order to be able to fly that one. Things that can happen, I suppose, in a danger sense, I think most accidents that have happened have tended to be a mixture of circumstances. For example, one of the biggest air crashes that has ever happened was in Tenerife at a time when the visibility was completely zero. There was so much fog that the pilots couldn't see. There was a communication misunderstanding between the tower and a couple of the aircraft. It was very stressful because the planes had all had to divert and the pilots were tired, and this communication difficulty meant that one of the aircraft thought he'd had clearance to take off when he hadn't, and there was another airplane on the runway, and as a result they crashed. So there was many different reasons why that one accident happened, and they often say now there's a lot of emphasis in flying now on what they call human performance factors and learning from different accidents, and there's a lot of work put into what they call cockpit resource management, working together, making sure everyone understands what they're doing, making sure that your communications are clear, and so just trying to minimise any possibility of any misunderstanding along the line. And I think they've learned so much now that it's far safer in that sense from lessons they've learned. So there are many things that could happen, but as I say, it's just the combination of factors that have happened that have caused the odd misfortunate accident. But